Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Thursday to you, boys and girls. One question and one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
Well, thanks for being with us. And that's all that really matters. We come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Joining us to talk a little college football is our friend Yogi Roth from the Pac-12 Networks. He joins us from Pac-12 Football Media Days. Yogi, how you doing, my man?
I'm doing awesome, man. I'm down here on Radio Row, and it's already popping here. I feel like Salt Lake City has like 7 radio stations, and they're all already fired up talking balls. So morning's getting moving, man. We're ready to hit it.
Love it. What do you think about Darren Carrington ending up transferring now to Utah?
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, the school hasn't officially confirmed anything. There's so many, you know, hoops to jump through, as you know. I think fundamentally for them, you know, they have some receiver concerns. And I think, you know, if he does join that roster, you know, it's an upgrade at the position. They got a JC transfer named Josh Nurse as well. Nobody's talked about who's 6'4", about 200 from Blinn College. So that's an area for them. If you look at, you know, them being so close every year, the only team that has not won the Pac-12 South yet has been the Utah Utes, and explosive plays has been big for them. So new offensive coordinator in Troy Taylor. If they could add Darren to the mix and that does get confirmed, it's only going to upgrade, I think, the position group. But it'll be interesting to watch how Kyle Whittingham deals with it. You know, you look at his history, and he's done a really nice job of bringing in student-athletes who have gone through difficult times, Garrett Bowles being the most recent, and kind of putting his magic on them. And to me, the discipline of him and his program would probably be the best thing for Carrington if it does end up happening officially.
Carrington has had a lot of headaches and a lot of issues at Oregon. Despite being a dynamic talent, they just couldn't keep him basically in uniform and eligible. Does the Oregon program, trying to turn the page with Willie Taggart, have to avoid recruiting guys that are high risk like Darren Carrington?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think, you know, to say a kid's high risk now and try to rewind the clock and say, okay, did you know what, you know, he was going to do 5 years ago, I think it's kind of hard to predict. I think what is unique about Willie Taggart and, you know, being at the opening in the Elite 11, where he has really set a standard around the country in recruiting, is that he's no nonsense, you know, period, end of story. I mean, he just got rid of their, you know, you could argue their best playmaker on at least the skill players on the outside, and didn't flinch about it. You know, I think it's huge when you look at his personality. He's been able to spend some time with him. He's got such a vision for this thing. And we kind of forget a little bit that he's done it twice, right? He did it at Western Kentucky. He did it at South Florida. I think he's going to do it here, you know, but I think it's going to take a little while because this conference is so deep. Offensively, Oregon's going to be fine. I think this year, you know, Justin Herbert is a rising star. Royce Freeman comes back. They return 4 redshirt freshman O-linemen that played, and Tyrell Crosby, who was injured all of last season. Charles Nelson at the skill position. They have some young receivers that could be good. But defensively is where, in this conference, you got to come to play down the middle of your defense. And they've struggled there, obviously, last couple years. I think this year they kind of get it going, but I think it's going to be about 2 years before we see them really turn around. Because the brand's red hot, and even in recruiting with what they're doing now around the country, it's as impressive as we've seen. I think they're the number one class in the entire Pac-12, depending upon which recruiting service you want to subscribe to.
Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network, joins us from Pac-12 Media Days. What did you think about Nick Saban's suggestion or idea of doing away with the 6-win tally or benchmark to get to a bowl game, and instead power conferences only scheduling other Power 5 teams? So in other words, you don't look for the FCS wins to pad to get to 6 wins to get to a bowl. You only schedule Power 5 teams, And then instead of going at 6 wins to get into a bowl game, you just take best teams with the best schedule that they had played. Do you think that makes sense?
Well, I think there's two things I'd add to that. One is, if that's the case, then can we please, you know, eliminate the SEC, you know, embarrassing game that they play in week 10 or 11. It's basically a bye as they set up to ramp up for their conference championship game or a bowl game. I think you got to, you know, if you want to have that type of narrative, I think you got to get rid of, you know, that type of game. I don't think it's fair to the team they're playing. And, you know, it's really not what anyone else around the country does. So I would make an annulment there. And then for the bowls, you know, my idea has always been, I want to see great matchups. I think fans want to do it. So the conference agreements, to me, I would love to get rid of those. You know, and all of a sudden, let's take two red-hot teams, you know, whether it's the Pac-12 and let's say it's non-playoff teams. And, you know, if you want to go back, you know, a couple of years, let's just say Stanford and LSU. You know, maybe we want to see that matchup or whatever it may be. I mean, to me, I would love to see, you know, the matchups that as the season develops, we get to pair those in the bowl games, regardless if it's 6 wins or not. I just think the matchups sometimes that are dictated by conference agreements, you know, it's just not what we want to see to settle at least that season's argument. And I think fans would absolutely love it. I think the attendance would be higher at some of these bowl games because, what is it, 41, 42 bowl games now. It's pretty aggressive.
I would agree, but does that mean you're okay doing away with the traditional Big Ten, Pac-12 Rose Bowl?
No, I think that those power games, you know, those, you know, whether it's a CFP game, obviously you wouldn't get rid of that. But the agreement to the historical games like that, those big New Year's Six types of bowl games, I wouldn't get rid of those. But it's, you know, the Alamo Bowl. Maybe it's a different matchup. You know, maybe it's the, you know, Foster Farms Bowl. It's a different matchup. You know, it's one that is really going to get fans excited. Even when you look at traveling, you know, I remember when I played and, you know, my parents got to fly from, you know, one side of the country to the other. Does that make the best sense? I don't know. It depends if you think you're going to sell tickets because it's a really good matchup. So I would want to look at every one of those other games outside of the ones that have had all the historic prestige, as you referenced, such as the Rose Bowl, which is incredible, and say, okay, where can we have the best matchups to settle, you know, these conversations? Because when we do argue conferences, I totally get at the top, you're going to put your best against their best. But there's some really compelling teams. I look at the Pac-12 specifically as being, I think, the deepest conference top to bottom. So this year, I think 9 or 10 teams are going to get bowling. I'd love to see some of those matchups against other conferences and teams to kind of, you know, even enhance the argument of the CFP so you can kind of build even more buzz around that.
UCLA's got some pressure on him. Not only is Josh Rosen all eyes on him, but Jim Mora all eyes on him. Do you think that Jim Mora needs to make a big splash this year to keep his job at UCLA?
It's interesting. I get asked that question in all these interviews. And, you know, if you took away last year, which isn't the reality, I think his record and Coach Harbaugh's record are the same. You know, and I think if you take away anybody's star quarterback, specifically his caliber as Josh is, it's going to hurt you. I think any program in the country, to be quite honest. So I think it's a little premature to talk about his job speculation. I get why we have to because of the media and because of all the eyes on Los Angeles and the
okay, but so you don't think program. You don't think there's frustration at UCLA then? You think that that's a media creation?
No, I think, of course, from last season, there's frustration because of the way that they performed. But I think you got to look at the reality of the team. You know, they lost what is a potential top five draft pick, you know, in a pro-style offense that was built for him. Whether that's a good decision or not, we can debate. But I think fundamentally, if you just looked at a record and say, okay, he's on the hot seat, I think you forget about what he did the previous years. And I think he could be premature. I thought it was premature last year, getting as aggressive as, you know, the country got so early on Mark Helfrich. You know, 2 years ago, he's a national championship game. I'm not shying away from the pressure in major college football, but I think you got to look at the realities of when you lose your best player, if not one of the best players in the entire country at the most important position in college football, to say that because of last year he's on the hot seat, I think is a little ridiculous.
Well, I think if people say that he's on the hot seat and it's only because of for personal frustrations, you're right. But it feels like, at least it sounds like, UCLA also wants more. And they didn't get more last year. And so I wonder if that's the truth at the top of that program, that they feel like, hey, we've got an incredible recruiting base. We've now got facilities to compete. And we should be getting more out of our program. I mean, is that a possibility that actually at UCLA they're frustrated?
I don't know. I mean, I haven't heard from anybody in the administration that said, you know what, we're really frustrated with the performance that we're having. I mean, you got to look at that team, and they brought in the top two defensive players on the West Coast last year, guard of the country, and Jalen Phillips and Darnay Holmes, you know, D-end and corner. You know, they got one of the top recruits at quarterback already committed this year, and Dorian Thompson-Robinson out of Bishop Gorman in Las Vegas. So Yeah, I mean, do they want to be competing? Is it frustrating that they didn't, you know, overtake USC when they had their opportunity with, you know, when SC was down with the sanctions? I'm sure that's there. I would assume it to be, but I haven't heard, you know, that narrative from that community, you know, to be quite honest.
Yogi Roth joins us, Pac-12 Network. He is at Pac-12 Media Days going on right now. In the North, is it Washington and everybody else?
No, I think you got to look at Stanford. You know, UW is I think they're just getting going. I think it's, you know, look out. I mean, that program to me is really unique in terms of how they develop, how they build. I think they've got a top 10 draft pick in Vita Vea in the defensive line. I think Taylor Rapp, their safety, was freshman the year last year in the Pac-12 conference. I think he's the most instinctive player in this conference in the back end. Offensively, obviously, Jake Browning, Miles Gaskin, Dante Pettis. We could talk about their players. They've done a great job of recruiting, but I think Stanford, for me, they're kind of a sleeping giant. You know, obviously the 10 games they won last year, I think their narrative around them was really about the games they lost and how they lost them, UW being one of them. But I look at this defense. Their entire front seven is juniors and seniors. Their entire back end is juniors and seniors. In this conference, when you really get down to, you got a good quarterback play, but you got to be built down the middle of your defense. I think they are with the return of Harrison Phillips this year. And then in offense, their O-line is impressive. They return, you know, four guys up front, including now a true sophomore, Nate Herbig, who was one of the first freshmen in a couple of years to start on the O-line there. They bring in the top two O-linemen in the country. And I say all that because they dictate terms usually when they play Stanford football in terms of how they manage the clock, how they run the ball, how they utilize different possessions, just the style in which they play is so unique. And I think when you talk about who they're bringing back on defense, I think they're going to be forcing a lot of three and outs this year. They're going to allow Keller Chris to find his rhythm again. I'd expect him to be the starter after going 6-0 last year, coming off an injury. And with the skill positions, I think Trent Irwin's the top route runner in the Pac-12. So we're talking about third down conversions, you know, things of that nature. I'm excited about tight ends. I think are the biggest secret in college football. You know, when you're in the too tight personnel, you ask any D coordinator, it's miserable. You know, it's just so hard to play against when you're not practicing against it very often. You very rarely see it in this conference, and they've got three that I think would play anywhere in the country. So I think Stanford's going to be a scary team. You look at the SC game that they have early on in week two on the road, and then you go down in November on a Friday night, they have UW at home. Those two games, I think, are the two games that pose the biggest challenge for them. But other than that, I think they're favored in every game that they play just based on their skill set and personnel grouping.
Finally, how interesting do you think Wazoo is going to be? In the preseason poll in the North, UW is number one by a long shot, then Stanford, and then Washington State over Oregon. Can the Pirate and Mike Leach and that offense, can they win some important games in the Pac-12 this year?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They're kind of that team you just kind of, you just don't really talk a lot about. They're a team that I think will win, you know, between 7 and 9 games, and a couple will go either way. You know, the thing that is interesting about them is that they bring back three offensive linemen, you know, and they got good battles at the positions where, you know, they need a center, they need a guard. They're better up front than they've ever been. I think I'm going to ask Mike Leach today when we bring him on set. I think it's the best O-line he's ever coached. You know, they bring back four running backs, and they bring back Luke Falk, who by midseason should be the all-time leading passer in Pac-12 history. So I think that's an impressive group to look at. Defensively, they're unique in the style in which they play. And I say that because most teams that play against an air raid type of offense every day in practice really struggle on defense. You know, you can look down to the history of Cal the last couple of years. You look at Texas Tech the last couple of years. To me, you know, what Wazoo's done under D coordinator Alex French has been remarkable. So what does that mean? That means that it puts them in position, I think, to surprise a lot of teams. The thing for them is they got to just get going. You know, they can't lose week one at Montana State, not only for themselves, but for the reputation of the conference. When we're talking about a UW team that plays them in the Apple Cup that doesn't have a very strong non-conference schedule, those are the things that I think Wazoo is one of those teams that bolsters the overarching reputation of the Pac-12. They don't have to leave the state of Washington in the entire month of September, and they get USC on a Friday night at home on the 29th. So I think it's going to be really interesting to kind of watch their first month of the season, a chance to go 4-0 and see what happens against the Trojans. That place will always get crazy in Pullman, especially if they're undefeated. But overall, I think Wazoo, Utah, and Oregon State, you know, and Colorado, they're the three teams that nobody really wants to play, because in this conference, week in and week out, you don't have a layup. I mean, even Cal with Justin Wilcox, schematically, I think he's a decided advantage for them when they get into a lot of games, just because the style in which they play on defense. I don't think they're going to win six games, but they can knock somebody off. So my point is, this conference, you just don't have a layup week, you know, once you get out of the non-conference schedule.
Yogi Roth, Pac-12 Network. As the Pac-12 holds its media days, we're getting set for college football right around the corner, which we all love around here. You can follow Yogi on Twitter for the latest at Yogi Roth. Yogi, it's always good to catch up, buddy. Enjoy the day, man.
I love it, man. We need to get you out here to Southern California, brother.
Oh, believe me, I need it. I could use it a lot. Thanks, bud. I'll connect with you, man.
Okay. Later.
All right. Yogi Roth joining us here on the show. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. And you can always watch the show at watchda.com. When we come back, a little dumbership for you. There's a new way to date through Twitter.
Electronically ignorant.
DA, CBS Sports Radio. The legendary Guns N' Roses are back with more arena dates on their Not of This Lifetime tour featuring Axl, Slash, and Duff playing all their hits. See the most amazing live event in rock. Get tickets now at LiveNation.com. Glad you're with us, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Love college football being here. A little reminder, Sunday morning football will return coming up in September. Every Sunday morning, 9 until 11 a.m. Eastern time, I'll be taking you through the college football that happened on Saturday and previewing Sunday's NFL action. It's a two-hour pigskin extravaganza every Sunday morning here on CBS Sports Radio. It's streamed the same way as this one is. It'll be on the web as well at watchda.com, which is very exciting. Sunday morning football returns coming up in September. As Bart Scott might say, can't wait. By the way, today, 2 years ago, marks a very momentous day. On this date in 2015, the sports pope, living legend, icon, Radio Hall of Famer Mike Francesa, took me to task for not only using my initials, but also for doing a CBS Sports Minute that ran nationally on his show about Hulk Hogan and the racist video that was released. It'll be the subject of your epic fail. Archived audio, historic audio. And for Pete the Body Bellotti, a huge wrestling fan, I imagine growing up, you were a big Hulk maniac.
Oh, I was. That was my icon, my hero.
That was your gateway drug into wrestling.
Yes.
Hulkamania. And that video, was released, or however it became public, and he's using all types of vulgarity and the N-word and everything. I mean, that's got to be pretty devastating.
Oh, it's horrible. It's horrible to hear your big hero saying all that stuff. I never thought it would happen.
Yeah, and so I did a CBS Sports Minute about it. It ran a Mike show. Don't think he liked a Sports Minute anyway. Certainly don't think he liked a Sports Minute about wrestling. And on top of it, me using initials, it was the perfect storm.
Uniting all of my worlds, basically.
Yeah, right. That's right. So that became quite the bit of news, and we'll relive that coming up here, the epic fail. But first, let's get to your dummership.
You earthlings are strange life forms. DA, should we really highlight these weirdos?
Being weird is not a crime.
It's your latest installment of the dummership.
You know, I never used dating apps when I was single. I was a little before the dating app craze, but now certainly it's everywhere. And there is a new app called Love Flutter. Now, Love Flutter is going to try to match you up by asking to log into your Twitter. Okay? What do you need that for? Well, Love Flutter is going to take advantage of your tweets and, using an algorithm, try to connect you with people that have your same personality and tweet about the same things on Twitter. The app analyzes the words that users include in their posts on Twitter to gain insight in their personalities, happiness levels, and compatibility with potential matches. The concept revolves around the idea that Twitter users don't tend to filter their thoughts as much as they might on Instagram or Facebook.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
And so the frequency with which they use certain words in their tweets can reveal aspects of their personalities you wouldn't otherwise glean from a typical dating profile. In other words, dating apps are a scrubbed version of you. Twitter is unfiltered, and they're saying, let's get to the real nuts and bolts of the matter. Let's team you up on Twitter based on what you tweet. Let me say, this sounds terrifying, because the only thing worse than knowing that you're getting matched up via Twitter is via YouTube user comments. If you start going down that road, there's a lot of nastiness. That is the sewer of the internet. Do you really want you to be tweeting about Game of Thrones and cursing about this, or you're late to work here, your boss sucks there? Is that what you want to team your love of your life up with? I mean, Mraz, I'm just thinking about, say, Hurricane Jen and her tweets to this show. How about Hurricane Jen tweeting out, she says, direct message-wise, pictures of herself topless to Rex Ryan. Is this how we're going to develop the next relationship of the future? And if so, are we all doomed?
Yeah, I kind of like it at first, but when you dig deeper, you're probably right. I mean, if I was single, I guess I would find people who think Mark Herzlick stinks at football and also tweet out the guests we're having on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah, a Hurricane Jen. There's a lot of other bad tweeters I don't want to get into and mention by name that come at me a little bit. But also, it really has to be, like, filtered words, because it just can't be, you know, going shopping. It's got to be, like, what you're angry about most.
What about that Dolphins fan that always tweets you incessantly? And
that stooge.
Hates you, hates the show, hates me. Could you imagine who Vero Beach Finns fan gets teamed up with over Twitter on Shutterfly or whatever this is?
Maybe Hurricane Jen, and that sounds like a match made in heaven.
Okay, you know what? Maybe I just sold myself on this.
If two were ever meant for each other.
Yeah. I don't know. This seems dangerous. But then again, I mean, dating apps in general seem to be a dangerous play anyway.
To be honest, if you want a match made in heaven, these are going to create match mates in heaven, right? Whether they're good or bad. There's going to be a lot of bad, but there's going to be some good, and you're going to find out who you really are relatable to.
It's just that Twitter can be such a cesspool.
But you know what? Then you belong in the same cesspool with the people who are in the cesspool with you.
Fair. I mean, I hope that if you do this app, you're only matched up with anonymous egg avatars, if you have an anonymous egg avatar. I would hope it also goes based on followers, too. Like, if you've got 3 followers and all you're doing is, like, sending hate tweets to celebrities, you better get the same exact person the other end of that line.
Well, I don't know if it calculates followers.
Because it should.
I think hate tweets are going to find hate tweets no matter how many followers you have.
Perhaps. That's your dumber ship. Bogish, what do you think? A dating app that connects you via what you tweet?
Yeah, what could go wrong? I mean, it seems foolproof and destined to bring love to everyone.
Yeah. You see some of these apps, I mean, they're trying to bring all types of people together. Farmers Only, I think.
Well, how long has that commercial been running? Only? And I still, every time I hear it, think it's not real.
Farmers Only.
Like, I think it's some kind of parody.
Yeah. You know what's funny? Until you guys just said that, I think in my mind I thought it was a commercial for the Farmer's Almanac.
A lot of ads running for the Farmer's Almanac these days.
I can't believe now that you just said that.
A lot of money to be made of the Farmer's Almanac these days.
You know, at least there is a Farmer's Almanac. That
true.
Is not all completely made up.
I thought that maybe you would think it was like Farmer's Insurance.
We are farmers. Dot, 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 dot. That's for the insurance, the almanac, or the dating?
That's for the insurance.
Okay. Maybe that's what I thought. I think I'm a lost cause.
The almanac will tell you when you should probably plant your soybeans every year.
When the rainy season is starting.
Right, which
gives you a heads up on the crops.
Mm.
And then the dating is Farmers Only, I think.
Yeah, .com. You've heard it. It's people wearing like stereotypical cowboy gear, sitting in a bar, a saloon, I don't know.
It's definitely a saloon. Watering hole.
Yeah, watering hole, yeah.
Unbelievable. And there's also an app now, Blue, a dating app just for Twitter verified users.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. So, like, if I was single, meeting Kim Kardashian, let's say.
Right. I'm sure you would definitely want to be dating Kim Kardashian. I'm sure she'd be interested in you. Sure.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
But only verified Twitter users.
Right. Yes.
So that is like the creme de la creme socially.
Right. So that means like the real low totem verified people like me with the celebrities.
Yeah.
I think we could find a middle ground there.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
That shows how legit you are.
Mm-hmm.
You Jake should... Brown and Madonna.
But no body. No body. No blue check for Bellotti yet.
855-212-4CBS. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the stories that did not make the cut, and more problems with the Falcons' brand new stadium. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Open now for brunch.
Oh, I missed you.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Sign up to be an O Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free, only at O'Reilly Auto Parts. See store for details. O'Reilly, better parts, better prices every day. Our friend JHC tweeted at us pictures of Kurt Warner's wife, Brenda Warner. Now you see the... You see the haircut I was talking about, Mraz. What's your thoughts on that bad boy?
It's kind of hot. I do. I like the tight shave, and I like that it's not the shave into like just short, stubby hair sticking up, almost like a Bart Simpson look. I love the wavy look after. I think this looks a lot better than you described. I guess you disagree.
Wow. Well, I mean, look, to each their own. To try to describe this... It is, for Brenda Warner, shaved completely on the sides, very short. And I would imagine this is dyed silver, because that's not just gray hair, I don't think. I think this is silver.
Definitely dyed, because it is another picture he tweeted us with the Kurt and Brenda smooching, and she's blonde with the same look.
Okay, so it's shaved on the sides, and then up the middle and through the back is a long, poofy wave.
A line drive up the middle.
Right, but it's almost like a wave, like an ocean wave. It's not that long. It's like an ocean wave. It's like a Bryce Harper type thing.
Or a horse's mane.
Okay. So you find the horse's mane a hot look.
If it was on a woman, not on a horse.
No, I know. I realize that.
I don't find horses hot.
No, I get that. But so for this...
I was looking at the pictures. I'm surprised. The way you describe those, like, oh, it's probably got to look awful. I'm looking and I go, you know what? She's single, I'm single. We're at an Applebee's late after half-price appetizers start. I make my move.
Well, you're both married.
I know. I'm saying hypothetically speaking.
So if you saw her at Applebee's, well, this is way better than the dating app on Twitter.
Yes. Well, she might be verified, and I'm verified. So
right.
Do that one.
Yeah, right. I find this completely distracting. I find this a little bit too wild for me. I guess I'm just more of a traditional type of guy. That just seems like a little too wild.
Well, we did establish with your baseball hats and stuff, you have crossed over into the old man category. This is a little edgy. Might be a little too edgy for you.
Yeah, is it surprising at all that Kurt Warner's got the edgy wife? He's not edgy.
True. That is a little strange. Yeah, opposites attract. He needs a little spice to his flavor.
Does he?
I think he does.
Yeah, maybe he does. He is a little bland.
Canton ain't knowing what's coming.
She's going to take down Canton big time. But you see where she's holding their daughter and the Minnie Mouse? Doesn't that look a little weirder? JHC has sent us a number of different pictures. That one's a little bit more along the lines of the video that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely her and Minnie Mouse with that hair don't exactly mesh.
All right, I'm going to post these pictures on Facebook. And if you're a friend of our Facebook page, you'll automatically see them on your timeline. If you're not... Go there and like the show page.
Yeah, get my timeline popping.
It's facebook.com/TheDA Show. Again, facebook.com/TheDA Show. Like the show page. And remember, if you're not a member of Facebook, that's okay. Our show page acts just as a normal website as well. facebook.com/TheDA Show for the Brenda Warner Bizarre Haircut Award. Let's get to your cut line.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's The Cut Line.
Well, the Falcons will not be selling individual single game tickets. They have only season tickets, which is rare because most teams, most franchises will save a few thousand individual tickets, single game seats, for people that don't want to spend the season ticket money or can't spend the season ticket money. So the Falcons going against the grain here. Now, they've made the concession stands affordable. The stadium looks pretty badass, although the roof doesn't open yet. But all 61,000 seats will be season tickets, and all 61,000 seats, you'll have to buy a PSL. You just have to spend $500 or all the way up to $45,000 just for the license to buy the season tickets, which sucks, let's face it, because how many of us really have that type of money and then on top of it have to spend the season tickets just to go to a couple football games? Now, obviously, a lot of these season ticket holders will sell them on the secondary market, but you're then forced to obviously pay secondary market values if it's an important game, there's a lot of buzz, a lot of interest in season one. If it's, and this is Atlanta, so I'm sure that season tickets or ticket prices will come down to the secondary market, but you can't just basically go and stand in line or wait in line or wait online for tickets to be released for single games and get it for face value. You are now going to be subject to the secondary market, and frankly, I think that sucks. Now, being in Atlanta, ticket prices will come down because there will definitely be apathetic fans that don't want to spend their Sundays or 10 different Sundays going to the game. So you'll be able to go to a game, but maybe not this year, because there's going to be probably a lot of interest throughout the season to see this new building. But if I'm the Falcons, I mean, at least give a few people the chance to buy individual tickets. You know, even if it's just 5,000 of them per game, do you really need to squeeze everybody for season tickets and everybody for the PSL?
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
We did that story yesterday on CTE and that report from Boston University in the American Medical Journal that has widespread CTE found in all, essentially, of the brains that were donated from NFL players, 110 of the 111. And abruptly, right after that number came out, right after that research came out, Ravens offensive lineman John Urschel retires. He's also a mathematics expert. This guy is super, super smart. He is, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Ivy League trained. He's pursuing his doctorate at the MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology. The guy is brilliant. And he announces it 2 days after these findings were released. Now, he hasn't spoken about why he retired, but a team source says his decision was linked to the results of the study. Hey, man, hard to blame him. This is a guy focusing on spectral graph theory, numerical linear algebra, and machine learning at MIT. Then he finds out that basically everybody that plays in the NFL gets CTE at some point, and he's like, no thanks, I like my brain too much. I don't blame him at all, man. If you've ever seen anybody or any profile on Urschel, you just see what type of incredible mind he is and how smart and bright he is. And I don't blame him at all. If I got those findings and I was a guy that was going to MIT right now to pursue my doctorate, I'd do the same thing. Yeah, I don't need to be smashing my brain against other guys' brains for the next 5 to 10 years.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, Lucky Whitehead has a new home. The special teams player and backup wide receiver for the Dallas Cowboys released after he was inaccurately accused of a crime. The Cowboys released him anyway. They're not going back on that. And now Lucky Whitehead picked up by the New York Jets. Not so lucky after all.
I ain't stole no dog.
Imagine being Lucky Whitehead and going from a team that was the best record in the NFC last season and another preseason Super Bowl contender this year, and then going to the Jets where people are talking about perhaps them going 0-16 and liking it so that it would get them a high draft pick, the number one draft pick, and presumably a quarterback. If you're Lucky Whitehead, having a job is cool, But that job being the Jets might be not cool at all.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And that is your cut line this morning. It would be amazing if Lucky Whitehead turned into a stud receiver for the Jets and that the Cowboys had a need because Dez Bryant pulls a hamstring or Cole Beasley goes down with an injury. And it would be amazing if the Cowboys realized the error of their ways, keeping on all these criminals, all these knuckleheads, all these guys that actually did commit crimes, and cut Lucky Whitehead, and Whitehead becomes a wide receiver. And they're like, ah, we could have really used that Lucky guy. But let's face it, he's going to be playing for the Jets. They have trash quarterback options as it is. He'll probably catch another 7 passes this year. And hell, what's worse, playing for the Jets or having your dog stolen? I don't know.
I ain't stole no dog.
It's really a push at this point. 2 summers ago, on this very day, I did a CBS Sports Minute. And that CBS Sports Minute aired across all of the CBS Sports affiliates, including WFAN in New York during the afternoon hours. I was filling in for the Doug Gottlieb Show. I was actually co-hosting with Bart Scott that day. Bart is talking a mile a minute. I'm trying to get a word in edgewise. I've also got to write 2 scripts or 3 scripts to do CBS Sports Minutes. As you might imagine, it's the middle of the summer. It's nothing going on. Football camps haven't opened. Baseball trade deadline hasn't happened. The lull of the NBA. So I'm like, well, I'm grasping for straws here. I got to get back after commercial break. Let me just write one and knock one out about the only news of the day that day, which was Hulk Hogan's racist tirade video that found the light of day and became big news. That aired on WFAN during Mike Francesa's show. Mike didn't like it.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
I don't want to hear this garbage. Mike would want me to write about and to record about, right? I know one thing that he has gone off on has been Brady defenders, right?
Why didn't Brady turn his phone over?
Well, it's a kangaroo court.
How is the NFL a kangaroo court?
Could you please let me explain why?
No, I don't want to hear this garbage. Give me an answer to the questions I asked you. I don't want your math equations.
Okay, all right. So that's the first thing. No, Brady got it.
I don't want to hear this garbage.
I know Mike's a big soccer fan.
And I saw a guy make a winning kick with a lefty kick. Are there guys who kick with both legs?
Okay, so maybe I will avoid soccer, anything that might be a little deeper into soccer besides, like, whether or not...
Especially the basic fundamentals.
Are there guys who kick with both legs?
We know Mike is known for the one time when it looked like on the simulcast he fell asleep when Sweeney Murdy... his guest was on with him.
Mike on Long Island. What's up, Mike? Yes, Mike.
Oh, sorry about that. I fell asleep when you started talking about Sweeney Murdy.
Oh, God. You know, listen. I'm not. The next one is gone. Well, you're gone anyway because I'm not in the mood.
Okay, so I'm not gonna reference that.
Because I'm not in the mood.
Maybe the best thing I could do is try to get to the bottom of what makes a Shake Shack burger so delicious.
The hamburger is good. Because the bread is something special about the bread. The burger's good. But, I mean, I've had burgers that good. It's the bread. There's something about the bread in those Shake Shack hamburgers. I can't figure out what they do to the bread, but the bread is outrageous. I'm telling you, it's the bread. It's not the burger. The burger's good, but it's the bread is just incredibly good.
Okay, so that's my checklist for making... building a better CBS Sports Minute.
The bread is outrageous.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
You know what? I'm in lockstep, actually, with Mike on all of those takes. I'm sick of the Brady defenders after Deflategate. The bread is amazing at Shake Shack.
It's a Martin's potato bun. Let's not make it seem like they created the atom.
But you know... it's definitely not creating the atom because an atom can't be created. It's splitting the atom.
Regardless.
But they cook the bun on the griddle with butter baked in, I'm pretty sure.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a buttery potato bun.
It's real buttery. It's a real buttery. But I'm in lockstep with all those takes. I mean, and if I had a boring guest on, I would fall asleep too. Like if I had Richard Justice from MLB.com on, you know I'm falling asleep. You know it. You know I am. I mean, so I can't blame Mike for any of this.
You'd be wide awake for Whit Merrifield.
Whit Merrifield will now, because I've got Royals mojo. I left the game early in the ninth inning last Wednesday. They came back to win the bottom of the ninth after they had just surrendered the lead. They haven't lost since. So you're welcome, Kansas City. This is all because of their mothership mojo. All right, that'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Pete the Body Bellotti on the wheels of steel. My man, Ryan Hickey, on the digital broadcast producing duties today at WatchDA.com. And Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good to one another. I'm off tomorrow. I'll see you Monday. The DA show is disconnecting right now.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.